Seeking the Lord's gracious help, I will speak to you this afternoon from the book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Hebrew church, said, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." On the other hand, the Lord said, "There is no rest, saith my soul, for the wicked." What a beautiful story we have written upon these pages. Beautiful because it sets forth a character that seeks after the true and living God. A character that we would do well to imitate and to follow. Here are the precious desires of a loving parent for a loving daughter. The scene set before us is that of tranquility. A time when things were far more simple than they are today. Innocence was something much greater known. And a lovely ardour set over the whole place. Naomi, as you know, went forth in the time of famine into the land of Moab. And whatever we may say concerning the move that her husband made with her and her two sons, naturally speaking, it would seem that tragedy struck. But in reality, we see the wonderful, guiding, leading, providential hand of God. You know, Philip was preaching the gospel in Samaria when the Lord appeared unto him and commanded him to go out into the desert. One may wonder at such a move. But there was an elect vessel of mercy upon whom the Lord would display his free and sovereign grace in calling him to be a disciple. And Philip had to go and join himself to that citizen and there preach the gospel to him because he was of the Father's choice. And so we see here in the providence of God that there is one in Moab, that heathen nation, and among a heathen people, an elect vessel of mercy. What an encouragement to know that none are too far off from God. The hand of the Lord stretches to the ends of the earth to gather in, to call forth his elect from every quarter. What a mercy that it is so. Man left to himself would never come to God, for there is no desire after him in the natural man. And so it was that Naomi in the land of Moab was bereaved, not only of her husband, but also of her two children. What a lesson she had to learn. What a hard pathway she had to tread. No wonder she renames herself with the name Mara, which means bitterness, because she felt the Lord had dealt bitterly with her. But is not this another case where, having a view of the whole historic scene, we know that the Lord works all things together for good to those that love him? It would seem that Naomi was a very gracious character, a very tender and loving mother-in-law, the very epitome of a good mother-in-law who seeks to encourage her daughters-in-law in right things. And it would seem even there in the land of Moab, where they worshipped false gods, and Naomi was continuous in setting forth the true doctrine that there is one God, a maker of all things, and he is the God of Israel. Well, the news reaches Naomi that there is corn in the land of Israel, that the Lord had once more appeared unto his ancient people. And there he had poured out his favour upon them. And Naomi, realizing that there is nothing for her in the land of Moab, decides to return. And we see the affection of these two daughters-in-law, that they are willing to follow her, willing to go into a strange, a foreign land. And so they begin. But Naomi puts it to the test. And you know, if your religion is real, it will bear a test. The Lord will prove it. He will try it to see if it is real or not. There are many who call themselves Christians, many who reckon themselves to be religious. But the thing is, do we have a true religion? Do we have a real religion? Do we have a God-honoring religion? Do we have a religion that will stand every test and overcome at last? Naomi exhorts her two daughters-in-law to return to their home, saying that she has nothing to provide them with, no prospect of husband or home, that she goes back to Israel in poverty, having nothing. And at this time, the two are called upon, as it were, to make a decision, whether to go with Naomi to an uncertain future, to a possibly uncomfortable life, or to return to their home and family and friends and the things that they know about. Well, it seems as though the prospect of having nothing to Orpah is too much. And there she, seeing the good of her own land and the prospect of her friends and family, it is too much to leave. And so, although she shows that natural affection for Naomi, yet she is unable to follow her fully. And one can well understand the dilemma that she must have felt in her heart and mind at that time, halting as she was between two opinions. But which one would be the stronger? While the world and all its attractions is always the stronger to the natural mind and will always triumph at last. And so Orpah returns. And then Naomi remonstrates with Ruth that she ought to return also. But Ruth is of a very different spirit. The grace of God had begun to work in her heart. And so when Naomi says, "Turn again, my daughters, go your way," she is not easily overcome with words. "Entreat me not," she says, "to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What a blessed resolution. This didn't come from nature's ground. This she hadn't learned out of books or even from the words of her mother-in-law. The Holy Spirit of God had taught her these things and given her a desire to seek after the Lord. You know, the promises and exhortations of Scripture ever stand. "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Seekers will be finders if they seek with all their heart. But we have to stop a moment and ask ourselves a question. What are these things to us? We live in a very different day from Naomi. We live in a very different time and under very different circumstances. But you know, the Word of God is unchangeable. And what was profitable in Naomi's day is profitable in our day. The seeking after a true religion is just the same today as it was in their day. The world lies very much the same. And true religion changes not. Then where are our hearts? What are our prospects fixed upon? What do we hope to gain? Can we say with the hymn writer, "I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul"? Or are we seeking our portion in this world? Are we following Orpah or are we following Ruth? And you know, God is not mocked. He knows the secrets of all our hearts. He knows where we stand today. If we are seeking the things of this world, it's more than likely that we will gain them. But the Lord says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Oh, may this be a word in season. Perhaps especially for those of you who are younger, to seek him while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Yes, it's easy, isn't it, to put all manner of obstacles in our own way. But our friends wouldn't like us. But we may not get that promotion that we seek after. But this girl or this boy wouldn't be interested in me if I became true in my religion. And it's true, of course. We may have to give up many things. But a true Christian is made willing to give up all that he might follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's one or two of us here this afternoon who know what it is to leave our own nation. Therefore, I feel that I can speak with some experience. You know, it's no easy thing to leave our family and our friends, our way of life, our situation, our prospects, and all and everything that we held near and dear, to come into a foreign land, to come into different ways, and to follow different customs. You know, there's something of the flesh that ever draws us back. But where the Lord goes before us, there is no decision to be made. Where the Lord leads, his people have to follow. And indeed, we are very thankful for this, that he makes them willing. But let us never overlook what Ruth left behind, what she gave up. She gave up her idol worship. She gave up her family and her friends. She gave up her life and her customs. And what did she give them up for? Let's just think of Ruth as she journeys toward Bethlehem. What is she going to? At best, an uncertain future. She's going to a people that she knows not. She's going to customs which she will have to learn. She's going to a whole different way of life. And I say again, her prospects are uncertain. Will anyone want the friendship of a foreign girl? Will they have sympathy upon one who is not only foreign but also poor? These things are very real, you know. It's easy to read and to read over them and to quickly pass them by. But I say again, something had begun to work in Ruth's heart. Here we see a gracious character looking for right things. And although she didn't know what lay before her, at least she had learnt this, that the Lord God was the true God of Israel. And that she wanted to identify with this people, whatever it meant, whatever it cost. Now, have we a religion like this, whereby we want to identify with God's people, and that we will not count the cost of the discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ? But made willing by the Spirit of God, we turn our backs upon everything that we might win Christ and be found in him. I say it's a beautiful picture. And it sets forth a lovely character. I think there's something very attractive in the person of Ruth. And we've no idea what she looked like, naturally. But she had a beautiful disposition, a beautiful character, a loving, submissive temperament, whereby she was willing to follow and be obedient unto her mother-in-law, not by compulsion, but because of desire. And nothing could turn her from it. You see the reality of it. You see how real her religion was. Naomi had evidently laid the foundation which the Holy Spirit had put in her heart. And there she found an attraction to God, the real God. Now she wants to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. She wanted union with those that love the Lord. She could see in God's people an attraction that she couldn't see in her own people. Mysterious, isn't it? She saw an attraction in them that she didn't see in her own people. She saw a beauty that her own people did not possess. Now here is the foundation of real religion. To turn our backs upon the world and to seek after Christ and all that are His. To follow in His customs. To follow in His ways. To be obedient to His commandments, to desire to do His will. But it wasn't a life of ease that she was going to, which she soon discovered when she went there, because she went out gleaning the ears of corn. A laborious task with little reward. A back aching. Work that might have overcome many people. And again, she was not pressed into doing it. It would seem from all that we read that all was done on a voluntary basis. She came there because she felt it her duty, but she came there because of her love to her mother-in-law and was willing to do anything that might be for her comfort and for her support. She, of course, did not know what lay before her. She knew nothing of the people. She had no friends there. No one she could call a companion. The only person in the whole country that she knew was Naomi. But out of love, out of respect, out of a desire, she went laboring all the day and spent a long day gleaning where she could. Some corn for their survival. But of course, where there are those that seek after God, where the Holy Spirit has begun to work in their hearts, it's not left to chance. She happened to light upon a certain field. And of course this is written in the language of her own feelings. But of course God was the divine director. He leads his people forth by a right way. Nothing is left to chance. Everything is ordained from eternity past that it should be so. And so she comes into the field where Boaz is the owner. And again, it seems that the Spirit of God is in this man, which gives him a kindly and tender disposition. And I've no doubt that he was loved of his people. We see it in the exhortation that they greet him with. The Lord bless thee. Blessed is he which cometh in the name of the Lord. I know that those words were primarily spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ, but all that are Christ may come under that description. And Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see a beautiful spiritual picture beginning to unfold in these lines. Here is Ruth, by birth and by nature an idolatress, who knows nothing of the true God of Israel. But under the kind direction of the Almighty, she is to be brought into a relationship with the Most High God. What a divine favour. But then we have to remember that we are all enemies to God by nature. We are all idolaters. We worship the God of this world under whose control we stand. Unless and until the Spirit of God comes upon us to teach us a different way and to bring us out of captivity into the glorious liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, having laboured in the field all that day, she comes home to tell her mother-in-law of her experience. Now, of course, Naomi knew the people, knew the customs, knew everything that was happened. And doubtless as she heard the words of her daughter-in-law and the way in which she had been directed and led, the heart of Naomi must have melted to see the goodness of the Lord, his wonderful compassion, not only to Ruth, but also unto herself. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" What was the rest that Naomi sought for Ruth? Well, this word rest means peace, means comfort, and it is viewed in the marriage scene. She might well have said, "Shall I not seek a husband for thee?" Now she knew that Boaz was a near kinsman. Doubtless she knew the character of Boaz and his tenderness. But she could also see the overruling providential hand of God in all this. It hadn't come about by mistake. It had been ordered. Our life's minutest minutest circumstance is subject to thine eye. Everything is ordained by God in the lives of his people. As the hymn writer says, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Or as the Lord Jesus Christ said, not a hair of our head can fall without the Father's knowledge. Think of that wonderful providential care that God has toward his people. But he has toward you and I, if we are his. That in the days of our unregeneracy, when we were in the world and of the world, he kept us. He watched over and protected us. But there was an appointed time when he would make himself known, and when we should be united to him. And so we see it in this picture that is drawn here. That ultimate union that will be between Ruth and Boaz. What does our soul most desire? Do we desire rest? Peace? Protection? Love? If you look at marriage in its ultimate state, in its nigh perfect state, here the woman is attracted unto the man. Here her love kindles more and more, and her desire is toward him. And she seeks in him his care, his love, his protection, and his provision. This perhaps is an old-fashioned view of marriage, but I believe it's a right view of marriage. There to see that loving union whereby the woman, the weaker vessel, can trust her all to him whom she loves. Now think of that spiritually. The soul is arrested under a knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of God begins to reveal something of the Lord Jesus to them, as they see themselves wholly unworthy, a stranger, a foreigner, an idolater, who would take knowledge of us? And yet you see, it was in the providence of Almighty God that Boaz should take knowledge of Ruth. He could see something different in this woman to what he could see in all the maidens that he employed. He saw something in her character that attracted him. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is attracted to his people because of the love that he has borne toward them from all eternity. Not their natural birth or their natural temperament, but that spirit that he has put within them. And there is that drawing together that mutual affection one toward the other. And so it is with the soul seeking after Christ, seeking his beauty, seeking his loveliness, seeking his loving arms. We see here the wonderful spirit of Naomi. You know, it's not always a happy union between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. But here, Naomi is not selfish. She's not seeking her own, but Ruth's future good. Naomi, by this time, is too old, presumably, to marry. Her prospects have passed her by. And she is content to live out her life as a widow. But here she recognizes the tenderness and love and dutiful nature of her daughter-in-law toward her. Now, should she not seek for her good? Should not any mother seek a rest for their daughter? As we mentioned this morning, we are exhorted to bring up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We trust as they grow up into years, the foundation has been laid in their hearts. Those things that we have been enabled to speak unto them of the wonders of a wonder-working God. You know, in a good family, Christ is at the centre. And there the father and the mother admonish the children to follow in the ways of the Lord. And you children, who have been brought up under the sound of the truth, what a solemn responsibility is laid upon you to follow in that example given unto you. You know, we live in days which are exceedingly solemn in many respects. And one thing that is so easily identifiable is the disrespect that children display toward their parents. I've seen it on so many occasions that the parents bring up their children under the sound of the truth. They bring them up in a Christian home with Christian discipline. As soon as the child is old enough, or as soon as they marry and leave home, all their parents' religion is put to the wind. And they show that way that really they have no love to their parents. They have certainly no respect for them, or else they would at least to seek in some way or another to follow the example that has been given unto them. But the parents are to lay up for the children. And what parent doesn't wish to see their daughters and their sons also happily married and there to bring up a family of their own? To be grandparents and perhaps even great-grandparents in due season. And there to have the comfort and happiness of seeing their loved ones happily suited to be given rest. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now I want to look at these things in a more spiritual sense. Shall I not seek rest for thee? What rest is there in this world? This world is like the troubled sea. Troubles indeed abound on every hand. Where are we to find rest? Wealth, honor, pleasure? Yes, the world thinks that these will afford them rest. But what does the rich man say? I will build bigger and bigger barns. And presumably, having done that and increasing in wealth, he has to go on and build bigger still. And we see this with many today, building up their empires as if they will own them forever, and that they will be king of their castle and commander of all men. But how often these prospects and these desires all come to nothing. And those things that they were hoping for and expecting never come to fruition. And they are left disappointed, dejected, cast down, because they have not had their own way. They have not found satisfaction. But what of the rich man that does find success? That he becomes more and more profitable? Does he find happiness? Does he find security? Does he find rest? And the answer to all these things is no. There is no rest in this world. Honor. Some people want promotion. You see this in the election. Some want fame. They want a position in life. They want to be respected of their people. But how many of them really find respect? How many of those that have been voted into the House and to the Senate will really find a rest, peace, comfort in the very prospect of it? No, you see, they will find trouble. They will find difficulty. They will find things not as they thought they would be. And it will bring all kinds of strains and stresses into their lives, which they wanted not. Pleasure. Oh, isn't it a day when man seeks after pleasure? But what are the pleasures of this life? At best, they are only temporary. And much of the pleasure ends in pain. You notice with some of these so-called film stars, their lives are a mess. They end in confusion. They don't find happiness in their pleasures. No, they're troubled. There is only one rest to be found in this world, and that is those that find their rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whose spiritual longings, yearnings and desires are all toward him. They find peace through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. They find an abiding place, as Noah found a place in the ark, and as all those who seek the Lord Jesus Christ will find a rest in his wounded side. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. Do we know anything of that peace? To rest in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ will never be brought into confusion. Yes, we might gain the whole world, But one day we have to die. And where are all our riches then? They are passed on or passed over to someone else. Someone else will reap the benefits of our hard labours and of our prosperity. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can take nothing out. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you know, if we find our portion in the Lord Jesus Christ, that portion can never be taken away. Yes, hell and Satan and sin may seek to deprive us, but none can pluck us out of the hands of the Lord Jesus. Once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Shall I not seek rest for thee? You that are or have been parents, don't you want the best for your children? Don't you want to see them settled and happy? And you know, if you're honest with yourselves, that true happiness is to be found in true religion. And you know that if your children were converted, you will be happy for them. And you will be happy in that knowledge that it is well with them, whatever may come into their lives. Now surely a parent's heart is for their children. This is your closest tie, your blood relationship. You mothers that have borne children, those that have come forth from your womb, do you not find that union to the one that you have borne? Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bears? Yes, she may forgetful be, and sadly in this corrupt world many are. But the Lord will never forget his people. Shall I not seek rest for thee? I pray that the Lord will give me a pastor's heart. And what does a pastor want to see? Surely rest for his congregation. To see each one united to the Lamb, from condemnation free. We don't want to seek so much your prosperity or even your natural happiness, but much more. We desire to see the security of your souls, to see you brought into that living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And is it not our prayer and desire that we should seek rest for thee? Those that are being converted, upon whom the Spirit of God has come, do you not seek rest for your loved ones, your relations, your friends? Those with whom you have to do in this dark world of sin? Is it not your incessant cry, Lord, save them as thou hast saved me? Or let thy work appear unto our children and unto our children's children and unto all whom we know and love. Shall I not seek rest for thee? Every tender, loving heart surely desires the best for one another. So to commit them unto the Lord, that it might be well with their souls. And the Lord knows the secrets of our hearts. He knows our desires in this respect. Oh, that the Lord would save His Israel and gather in His people and bless the abundance of His saints. And what is the ultimate of this? That it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. The only safety, the only security is to be one with Jesus. If we are one with Jesus, then we know it is well. Is it well with my soul? If my Jesus is mine and I am His, then the answer has to be yes, it is well. It is well, even in this dark world of sin, when sorrows nigh overwhelm us, when troubles come in thick and fast, when we are cast down and dejected because of the roughness of the way, yet it is well. It is well whilst I live, and well when called to die. You know, the threat of death hangs over every one of us. Life is full of dangers and full of surprises. We know not where the thunderbolt may strike. We know not sometimes where sicknesses come from. They're so sudden, so dangerous, so destroying. But if we know it is well, well with our souls, then we know that we can die in peace with that blessed prospect to be with Christ, which is far better. Look at the blessed prospect that lie before Ruth. As the Lord had a portion for her soul, there soon she was married to her Boaz. Soon she brought forth children unto him. She would be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in that line of succession. What a blessed place Ruth has in history. But what a more glorious place she has in heaven, there with the saints of God in everlasting bliss. And in that resurrection day, her body will be raised from the dust of this earth and glorified, and soul and body will be united to praise a precious Jesus through an ever-ending eternity. Do we desire Ruth's portion to be our portion? Well, do we have that desire like Ruth, that Naomi's God will be our God, that we will be counted among God's people? You know, there are many that play at religion. They think that by some attendance or some generosity or some loving act of kindness, God will look upon them with compassion. I tell you, unless we seek after the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never find Him. And that seeking must be with all our hearts. And it's only God, the Holy Spirit, that can put that desire there. I pray for each one of you that the Spirit of God may come upon you and that you will seek after Jesus. If haply ye might find him, and be found in him now and forever. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.